Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Okay. It's a little uncomfortable for me, which is good because uncomfortable situations make us grow, right? But so I'm going to share a little bit about my trip for a couple minutes. And then the last 2 months, I felt this like teaching, I guess, that has been on my heart that I wanted to share with y'all. Just talking about like identity and like fear and like our calling and how they all kind of go together. So to start with, I'll just kind of talk about what I did in Hawaii. It was not all paradise, as some may think. Did not sleep all the time. So going into this trip that I went on, I was not really sure at all what to expect. I didn't know anything about serving the nations except that it was in Hawaii and that you do like outreach work and you have classes. Didn't know what kind of classes. It was a lot of intense, spirit-filled like Bible classes, which was super good. I guess I didn't realize how much I needed to hear everything that we did learn in those classes. God revealed himself in so many different ways to me, in so many new ways, and all the interns, the people there that I was working with and just like living life with the last 3 months, they really made an impact on me and on the experience, and we all like grew together. It was really cool, like our starting, like how we all started where we were, like by the end, like we were all completely different people is what it felt like. It was such a cool thing to see each of us grow in different areas and in our struggles. So I knew it was definitely a God thing that I like came across at STN, because being there was so much more than I was expecting it. While I was in Hawaii, we did a lot of stuff with the kids there. Wahiawa is like the worst city, like worst town you could possibly live in Hawaii. We lived on Ohai Street, which is probably the worst street you could live on in Wahiawa. So it was actually kind of scary at times, which I will talk about that more later. But I learned how to pray a lot more. I don't think I've ever prayed so much in my life, which is a really good thing. But it opened my eyes to a lot of things as well. And I don't think like now living where I was, I could go back to Hawaii and like see it how I did before going there. So the kids there, all super sweet, all such great kids. Their situations are crazy. Like the stories that you hear from them, like are heartbreaking. And your heart breaks for them and just the things that they have to go through. It was super awesome though, being able to reach out to them and just like getting to know certain ones. This little girl, Terry, I got to know super well. She's such a sweetheart. And getting to see her grow in those 3 months also was super cool for me. It was super cool just to like speak life into them, but they like speak so much into you, not even realizing it. We did learn a lot about surfing though. We learned a lot about like the surf history, which is pretty cool, just like how it kind of ties in and how Surfing the Nation ties in like faith into surfing, and they reach so many people who are in like surf culture. It's insane. Like they have so many different stories, like I could spend a long time going into all of them, but it's super cool what they're doing there. But basically like our weekly schedule, we had like about 4 Bible teachings a week. We had 3 big outreach projects we did a week. So Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays we did outreach, and then the rest of the week we had like teachings, like leadership class, Bible studies, connect groups. Super good. We did a lot of work with homeless people, getting to know them, like who they are and what their stories are and why they're in the situations they are, was super eye-opening, and it makes me want to like, or any community that I live in, I want to get to know the people who are in those situations, because they have so much to teach you about life and just about the experiences they've been through. It's crazy. You don't realize how much they know until you get to know them. It was really cool. Really sad though, seeing some of the situations and knowing that they're in that situation because they don't see any other way out, even though there is a way out. And so just getting to touch their lives in that way and be like, hey, like there is so much more, like we wanna help you. And like some people don't wanna receive it, but some do. And so it's really cool to see that. So at Surfing the Nations, at Surfers Church there, which is like the organization tied to Surfing the Nations, they're separate but kind of the same. We do like we did a couple all-night prayers for Wahiwa, so that was really cool. They did from 7 p.m. one night till 7 a.m. in the morning, and they like split you up into different groups, and then you pray for like a couple hours throughout the night. And so some people would be like 1 in the morning to like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, just different things. And basically, I was paired up with one of the founder's daughters, Karis. She's a super awesome woman, super inspiring. She's so on fire for God. And we got to like pray and talk together and just kind of walk around Wahiwa. And she was telling me different stories about the different buildings there and just being like, oh yeah, this building used to be like a drug house. This one still kind of is. And just like different things like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, you're like, we're in the middle of Wahiwa, the most dangerous place at like 12 o'clock at night. Like, this is so insane. But like, God has like his hand of protection over us. So it was like kind of crazy. I think I may have mentioned this on Sunday, but they do have an ice cream truck that is a drug truck. It's not good, but a little scary, but it's actually a drug truck. So it only plays music in front of like the people that buy from it, their houses. You never see kids go up to it. It's always older people, and you just kind of know, like the kids know to avoid it.
I don't like it.
It's really bad. It's sad though, like there's so much drug and alcohol abuse in Hawaii, and specifically Wahiwa. But yeah, it's crazy. Like one story, there's this house right across from our apartments, and every single Friday night, all night long, they would just be drinking and shouting and yelling, and we're like in bed, and it's like 4 in the morning, like, oh my gosh, just stop, go to bed. But it's crazy, it's a really big problem there. Yeah, it's insane. But God's definitely working there. Like, just from the stories they've told us, there's been so much progress. Like, God's done so many awesome things there. It's been really good. In Sri Lanka, okay, so I'll just fast forward to Sri Lanka. That was a super eye-opening experience. Like, you couldn't talk about God, couldn't talk about prayer, couldn't talk about, like, missions outside of, like, their base and outside of, like, the long-term missionaries that live there that are connected with STN. So it was, like, kind of hard because you're like, okay, gotta watch what I say like all the time, except when you're at the houses that it's okay to talk about. So you had to like love people and like share God's love in different ways. So it was kind of cool just to like really focus on that part of like our faith and like of sharing the Lord's love. So that was really good. So I think I told some people about like the lady who I got to know, Jaya. Such a sweet lady. She's in her late 20s, I think. And she has like 2 little kids, and her family is super sweet. And she was just like super welcoming, hardly knew what she was talking about sometimes, because like the language is so different, and she didn't know much English. But it was really cool that like, she'd invite me to her home and just like really got to know her. She invited me to her son's choir performance or singing performance at the Buddhist school there. And so me and another lady went. And we're in the middle of like a Buddhist school at 7 p.m. at night, and there's like little idols all around us, and like incense burning, and they're like doing offerings, and we're just like, we don't know what's going on, but we're here. And it was crazy. You feel God so much, even though you're amongst so many like bad things. It was crazy. And there was like a mosque that would go off at like 4 o'clock in the morning every day, so you wake up and you're like, okay, here we go again, and you just kind of pray, and it's like, all right, like, this is not good. But it was really good just getting to know the women there. Specifically, like, you want to talk to the people that are your gender just because of, like, safety, and it can be dangerous if you don't. So that was really good. We definitely made a difference there and kind of set the way for a group that was going after us. Tom, one of the founders at STN, took a couple people to Sri Lanka a couple days after we got back, and they did more work there for a little bit more long term. So that was really cool. But overall, Hawaii is like super life-changing and such an awesome experience. And I definitely feel like my relationship with the Lord has grown in a lot of different ways. And I feel like more mature in my faith and just as a person. And so that was really cool. And just seeing God work in so many different ways. I'll share some more like stories throughout like the thing that I feel like I'm supposed to be talking about. But yeah, so that's just a little bit about the trip. What? Oh, my outfit. Okay, so this is like a traditional Sri Lankan like three-piece. They wear like a scarf with like the, not really sure what they're called, 3 pieces, with like leggings or like pants. But yeah, all of us girls got one when we went there. And so it's kind of cool to like have the same outfit as the locals there. It was really neat. They really liked that as well. Okay, so I'm gonna go into the teaching. If you could go to the next slide, please. So, something that was really big on my heart and that I learned a lot about was fear and how we give that to the Lord and just the way we deal with that fear. I really like definitions of words because I feel like it gives you a better understanding. And so the definition of fear is to be afraid of someone or something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. And so I feel like fear is like a survival response in some situations. And so it can be a really good thing if you're in a bad situation, but if it gets taken out of context, it can be really bad. And we can be really fearful of different things, like stepping into who we really are and who God's called us to be. So can go to the next slide. Okay, so I have fear holds us back from truly living the life that God has planned for us. We have to live with love, the power of God, and a mind of courage, because that's how he has made us to be. He's not made us to live a fearful life, but a life full of courage and a life wanting to say yes to him and wanting to really live out everything he has planned for us. He has given us a spirit to help overcome any fears that we may have, and he is a good God. He wants us to give those fears to him so that he can help us live life fearlessly. And so I think that's so cool. If someone wants to read out of Isaiah 41:10, that would be great. And then if someone else wants to flip Joshua 1:9, that'd be great. Get everyone involved a little bit. Yeah, so whoever gets to Isaiah 41:10 first can just kind of shout it out.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am with your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And then whoever has Joshua 1:9. Anyone?
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you. So what I get out of both of those verses is we have a God who fills us with strength and who tells us not to fear because he is with us always. And I think, like, how amazing is that? Like, we get to have that. We don't deserve that, but he wants to take away our fears. And so why wouldn't we give him our fears and live without fear? I think that's just so good. Oh, you can go to the next one, please. So another thing that was really... Actually, hold on. Backtrack. Okay, so I'll share a story, actually. So while we were in Hawaii, the very first week we were there, I think it was like 4 or 5 days in, me and my roommates were all sleeping, and we hear a bunch of yelling, and so we wake up in the middle of the night, and I think it's like 2 in the morning, and we're all like frozen, and we're like, oh my gosh, guys, what's going on? And we hear someone yelling, call the cops, and we're like, should we call the cops? Like, we don't know what to do. Like, they're screaming, like yelling, and we hear like stuff going on like underneath us, and we're on a third level of our apartment building, and there's like a garage on the first level, and we're just like, we have no idea what's going on. Like, this, we have no idea someone broke into the apartments is what we're thinking. We're thinking someone's about to break into our apartment room. So one of the girls gets up and is standing in front of the door, and she's like, guys, don't have lights on, like, let's just be quiet, just like start praying. And so we're just all like shook because we don't know what's going on. And it starts to get quiet, and we're just like, oh my gosh, like, we don't know what's happening. And then someone like starts knocking on our door, and we're like, don't let them in, what do we do? And they're like, it's UC, and she was one of our staff. And we're like, okay, so we let her in, and she's like, guys, someone broke into STN, they jumped over the gate, because there's like a gate around the apartment building that we have to like fob in. And she's like, he tried to steal a car. One of the other guys jumped on top of him and like wrestled to the ground, and the guy was like beating the other guy up, and so it was messy, not good, super scary. And there was like yelling, they're like, we called the police, everything's under control. They're like, you guys can go back to bed. And all of a sudden, like, you want us to go back to bed? We're like, we haven't even been here for a week, like, this is not happening. And so all of us, like, we could not sleep that night. We were all like pretty scared, and it was like hard the next couple days because we're just like, oh my gosh, like, this could happen again. Like, this is only the first week. We're here for 2.5 more months. I was like, I'm ready to go home. Like, this is not good. And so we like prayed as a room, and like we prayed as like an internship group, because a lot of us had like fears about it, and it was just not good. And after just praying about it, and like our interns saying like, hey, you guys are perfect this day. Like, there's so many people here are gonna like protect you guys, and like God's gonna protect all of us. They're like, there's no reason to be scared. Like, yeah, we're in the worst part, but we also have like the best resources. Like, we have the best God. And so that was really good, but not a good way to start. But it was a good way to start, because it kind of prepared us and opened our eyes to everything we were dealing with while we were in Wahiwa. So yeah, that was a good thing. But yeah, okay, so fear of the unknown. So trying something new can change our lives to the better, but if we cannot let fear but we cannot let fear prevent us from trying the new. God controls the unknown and is going to provide and take care of us. Fearing the unknown is actually a lack of trust in God. I thought that was kind of eye-opening, like, oh, I'm not trusting God when I have fears, and like let those fears take control. So a couple weeks ago, we were in Surfers Church, and they have really, really powerful worship at Surfers Church. And we were doing one song called like, This Is How I Fight My Battles. I don't know if anyone's heard that song, but it's such a powerful song. Like, I love that song. I cannot get enough of it. And I just felt like the Lord speaking to me, like, okay, like, this is what fear is. And so I just like wrote it down, and I was like, not really sure what this says, but I wanted to like share it with you guys, because it was really powerful for me. And it just trying to change my viewpoint on it. And I was just like, okay, like, this is so true. Like, I do not want to live my life like this. Like, I have to change some things if I want to fully live the life God wants me to live. So it's okay, I'm just gonna share it. So I wrote down, when we let fear get the best of us, we're stepping out of trust in God and stepping directly into the enemy's trap. But when we let the fear go and let God take it away, we're stepping into trusting him and stepping into what God has designed us to be. Because God is above everything, he fears nothing, so why should we fear anything? So it was just like, okay, like realization, like, yeah, I know we're not supposed to be fearful of things, but this is like, I don't want to be stepping into what the enemy has planned. Like, no, like the enemy's not going to get the best of me. So that was kind of like a wake up for me. Matthew chapter 6, 25-34. I'm just going to read part of this to you guys. I really like this verse, kind of what it talks about. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So you do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run from all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So I really like that verse, because it just kind of talks about, like, it's so true. Like, God provides for the plants and, like, everything on earth, like, all the animals. And we're so much more valuable than, like, a dog or a flower. And so I think it's super cool. Just, like, we are so valuable. Like, he wants the best for his children, and, like, we're all his children. And it's such a good thing. So we had this lady, Carla, speak for a week before we went to Sri Lanka, about just like identity and being like courageous in who we are and stepping out in who we are and who God's called us to be. And she said this one thing, voice of faith, not a voice of fear. And I was like, oh, that's so good. Like, we have to have a voice of faith. Like, I'm gonna be faithful in every situation and not fearful of anything. Yeah, just like getting rid of that fear, looking to God, and he'll fight and take over our fears for us. Worries can wear us down a lot, but we must cast our troubles on the Lord. He can and will handle the weight of our fears. So with that, I just want to say, like, what fears do we need to let go of? Like, we have to let go of those fears if we want to take the next step in our faith. So with that, like, going into fears, or going from fears into identity. So you can go to the next slide. The next one. Sorry. Okay, so our identity. This is a super big topic in our internship. And it was probably one of my favorite things that we talked about, because getting to see so many of the interns like things just cast off of them, just like fears like being cast off them and things that are holding them back from knowing who they are, and people like who are depressed just being set free from that. Like, it was just so cool because it was such a powerful message, and it would like get everyone so pumped for Sri Lanka. I'm like, okay, like this is who I am, this is who I want to be, this is how I want to live my life. So it was such a good thing. So the definition of identity, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is, characteristics determining this. So things that like determine who we are. You can go to the next one. So everything always goes back to identity. Like any problem, any issue, anything we struggle with, it always goes back to identity, no matter what it is. And even if it doesn't seem like that, it's like, it's always an identity. And so we have to know who we are if we want to be able to fully do everything that we're made to do. So that's why it's so important to know who we are in God. We all have a unique DNA that's from God that makes us his children and a warrior for him. And so you can't say, oh, I'm not made to be like a fighter for God. No, like that's in your DNA. You're made to be a warrior for God, like whatever that may be. We all have different jobs in that. And it's just so good. One of the things that Claude also said was each of us has a sound to speak through our own lives. So like our sound is different than anyone else's sound. And I think that's so cool. Like how like our calling is different than anyone else's calling. Like our sound, we each make a unique sound to God. Like I don't sound the same as Morgan does to God. Like anything and everything we do sounds differently to others around us and to the Lord. And so I think that's so powerful. We have to tune our ear to heaven, because what are we partnering with? So are we partnering with the Lord and partnering with what he thinks of us and what he's speaking to us, or are we partnering with the enemy? Like, there's one or the other. You can't have both. You can't be in between. Like, it's either, are you listening to the enemy or are you listening to heaven? Like, which one is it? One of the things that she had us do was start a list. Every morning, just like, and be like, okay, God, first thing we do is, God, who do you see me as today? Like, what am I? And so, like, I've been doing that the last 3 months, and it's honestly so good. Like, any time that I start to feel, like, attacked by the enemy, or just like, oh, like, I can't do that, like, no, I just go back and I'm, like, reading through it. So it's, like, lovely, daring, unique, full of life, exciting, adventurous, alive, talented, obedient, dedicated. And it's really helped me a lot, and I know it's helped, like, the other interns that have done it. So if you find that, like, interesting at all, I suggest you do that. Because it just shows you, like, who you are. Like, God sees you in such a good way. And that's how, like, I want to see myself. I want to see myself exactly how the Lord sees me.
Amen.
Yeah, another thing is, if it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not in our inheritance. It's not who we are. And so if someone's like, oh, like, I'm depressed, does that look like Jesus? No, he's not depressed. He's full of life. Like, he's a life giver. And it's just like, that's who we are. Like, we get to have his inheritance. Like, we get that. Like, it's an honor to have that. It's so good. And if we don't control our hearts and our minds, then we don't get to change the world. So if we can't control our thoughts, like having those thoughts directed to the Lord, like who we are, then we can't help other people see who they are. And so like, it has to like all line up perfectly. And God's made it to line up that way. It's so good. We have to create a culture around ourselves so that we know who we are. So if we're surrounding ourselves with people who have no idea who we are, then how are we gonna know who we are? And if you're dating someone who doesn't know who they are, you don't know who you are. Because one of the things that she had said was, how you are is the person you're gonna date. Like, who you are is who you're gonna date. So if you have no idea who you are, you're gonna date someone who doesn't know who they are. If you're depressed, you're gonna end up dating someone who's most likely depressed. Like, it just matches up, you can't help it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, do I know who I am? Yes. There's someone who knows who they are. So good. But, oh, so good. So another point, like the enemy questions, so we need to stop questioning who we are and start declaring who we are. Because if we're letting the enemy say things over us and we're saying those things over us, like that's not what God wants. Like we have to declare, I am God's child. Like I am his beloved. This is who I am. And it like completely changes the game. It's so good. You can go to the next one. Okay, so we are God's beloved. Like, that's who he sees us as. Like, we are his beloved. The enemy is fully aware of this, and this is his first attack on us. Like, this is always the first thing he goes to. He's always going to go to attacking our identity. Like, time and time again, like, that's always what he goes for first. So we get to say, no, I do not know who you are. I know who I am in the Lord. You are not someone who's in my life because I am living in God. And God does not tell us that we're not This is who I am, and you have to get behind me because you're not who I am to the enemy. So I think that's really cool. If we can't view God clearly, then we can't see ourselves clearly. So if we do not have a clear understanding of who God is or who he's made us to be, then how can we see who we are? If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, like, how can you see yourself clearly? Because we find ourselves in him. Like, we're hidden in who he is.
Amen.
Yes. We're made in his image. Like, we're a reflection of who God is and of his goodness. And that's such an important thing. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, can I pull that up? Unless someone gets there faster than me. I had to memorize my books of the Bible on there, but kind of forgetting. When you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth.
Yes.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Mm-hmm. It's so true, like, even the Bible says, like, our life is hidden in Christ. So we have to know him to know who we are and what our life is supposed to be.
Yes.
So good. Mm-hmm. Our relationship with God is going to take part in how we see ourselves. Like, that's so important. I think that's why it's so cool, like, make a list of who you are, and so you never forget that. And you, like, write it down. You're, like, declaring that. Well, it's, like, an attack on the enemy. Like, you're hitting him every time you write that down. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, so it's so important to know who you are. And then knowing who you are leads into knowing what your call is and what you're supposed to do with your life. So you can go to the next one. So the definition of a calling is a strong urge towards a particular way of life or career or vocation. And so, like, God has a particular way of life for each and every one of us. And it's so unique and so special to who we are. And so, like, our calling is so important, and each of us has one. We have to live into what we've been created to do. We all have God-given gifts. We just have to step out and use them. It's our job to take our gifts and do something with it and about it, because God's not going to do it for us. Mm-hmm. He's given us those things, but he's not going to act on those. We have to. Okay, we each have a calling, but if we don't step out in the call God has placed in our life, then someone else is going to. God's going to put someone else in that spot. He's not going to wait forever for us to. He's going to be like, okay, this is the call in your life. Like, I've set you up for this. I've given you the gifts to step into this position. But if we don't choose to take that, then he's going to go find someone else to. And it's like, no, that's my call. I do not want anyone else to step in what I have, like, what my life is planned to do. Like, no, like, that's mine. Like, I get that from the Lord. And so it's like, why wouldn't we want to know who we are and know what God wants for us so that we can live the life he's made for us? And I know that my path is so unique and so amazing and such a wow life that I do not want to miss out on it. But I think I've realized that so much in the last 3 months, like, just so much more, that it's such a big world, and God's given us that world for us to go out in it and tell people about him and want to live life for him. Because when we do, like, there's so many amazing things that come with that. Like, we're gonna have so many benefits with that. Like, just living life here, but in heaven, like, it's gonna be so, so good. And it's like, I don't wanna miss out on the opportunity. Like, we get one life, we get one chance to step into our call.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you gotta step into it now.
Amen.
Like, don't wait.
No.
So in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, that's the next one. It talks about our calling. And also in 1 Peter 2:21, which I think is on the next slide. Okay, just read it from here. He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Okay, so he calls us because, like, he's a faithful God. And so if we want to be faithful to him, we have to step out and do that, because he's called us to do it, not the person next to me to do it. But he will use the person next to me if I don't do it. And so we don't want to miss that opportunity. And then in 1 Peter 2:21, okay. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So, that's a good verse. Okay, I'm just going to read one time. To this who you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So God came to earth and went through everything that we go through. Yeah. So if we say like, oh, God doesn't know how I feel, like God doesn't know what I went through, like no, he went through everything, plus some. Like we haven't got through everything that God went through. And so he set an example for us of how we should live our lives and what our calling is. Like we all have like similar calling. Like he wants us to go out into the world and to make disciples and to just like share his love and just be an example of that love. And so like that's like all of our call. But like there's so many unique parts of the calling. Like we each have our own special part to play in that. When we step out on our calling, we get to experience the wow of God. Like he is such a God of wow. He's a fun God. He's a good God. He's such a wow God. Like if we think of like Niagara Falls or like the Grand Canyon or different things like that, those are wow things. Like those are amazing. Like how can that be possible? But no, like we get to live a wow life. We get to live a life better than the Niagara Falls or better than any of those things that he's created, because he's created us more valuable than those things. And yes. So I know I want to experience a wow life. We get to experience a life that's crazy and radical and a life that he's planned just for us. But we have to say yes to Jesus and let him direct us for us to fully experience him and the life that he's made for us.
That's right.
We have to give God our dreams and trust that he'll make them happen. So he's given dreams and desires in each and every one of us. And if we want those dreams to happen, we can't just sit and be like, okay, it'll just come to me when it comes. No, like we have to be like, God, like this is something that I have a goal. Like this is a goal I have. This is something you put inside of me. Like I want to see this happen. I want to see it accomplished. And if we want that, we have to pray about it, be consistent about it, and be like, okay, Jesus, like I know this is going to happen because you're a good God and you put this desire in me and I know it's going to happen. And so we just have to be faithful to him and trusting in him. And all goes back to like fear. Like we cannot be fearful that it's not going to happen. We have to put aside that fear so that it can happen. When God's the center of our lives, we'll reflect him and live a bigger life in him. We'll get to live out those dreams and the things that he's made us to do. We'll know who our calling is, and it's a call to live for Jesus and spread his love, his word, and make followers of Christ. When we say yes to what he's called us to do and where he wants us to go and do, then it's taken to a whole new level, a level where we just trust and go for it, where we don't have to have any second guesses or like second guess ourselves. We're just like, oh, I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to do that, but we get to do that. We have to be the yes men, because the yes men go far. And Carla, one of the lady who was teaching us about the identity, she was saying that, she's like, you have to be yes men. Like if you just say yes and yes and yes to God and you don't hesitate, but you just say yes, God, like send me here. He's gonna open so many doors, like doors that weren't even like things that we were thinking about. Like for me, I did not think about serving the nations or that I would ever do something like that. But I like found it and I was like, okay, like I'm in a spot where I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. But I was like, all right, I'm just gonna go for it. Like to say yes to it and go at getting on the plane, just going there. I'm like, what did I get myself into? Like, not really sure what's gonna happen, but I'm so thankful that I said yes and just trusted God that it was somewhere I was supposed to be, because so much is gonna come from that. And like, I've learned so much from that. And so it's so good. God calls us to go, and that like goes back to identity. Like if we don't know who we are, then how can we go? Like how can we go for God? Because we don't know who we are, we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And it's just like we have to know those things so that we can go for him. Knowing who God is helps you know who you are and what God has gifted you with, so that you can go into the world and be light for him. If everything we do is to glorify God, then it's good. Like it's our call. Like anything that we feel like we're supposed to do, if it's like a little urge, like, oh, I'm supposed to be here, but I'm not sure if that's God, like don't second guess it. If it's a good thing and if it's glorifying the Lord, then he's gonna like make that flourish. He's gonna make that a good thing. And if it's something that you're not supposed to do, he's gonna close the door and open a new one. Like it's gonna happen. It might take a little while and you're like, okay, like it's been a while, God, like what's happening? I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do next. Like he's gonna show up if we just trust him and like are consistent in our prayers and like, okay, God, like I'm just gonna trust you in this. It's really hard, but I know that you've got me. I know that you've got this. Like I'm not gonna be fearful about this. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. Okay. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so, yeah, like, everything we do should glorify God, like, even the little things. Like, just our little chats with our friends, just, like, cruising with our friends, like, it's gotta glorify God. Like, every conversation needs to. While I was in Hawaii, like, every conversation I had probably with anybody at SDN, no matter what, like, if it was about, like, what we're eating for dinner, it always somehow led to, like, God or what God's doing that day, or, like, what we're feeling in the spirit, like, just different things like that. And you get so used to conversation like that, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good, like, I need to take this back with me. Like, I want to share this with everyone. Like, you get so excited about it and, like, light something inside of you. And it's just like, I can't stop. Like, I have to share this. And I'm sure my family gets sick of me talking about all the conversations I've had. But I just talk about it because it's just like, it's so good. Yes. And it's like, I don't want people to miss out on this. And it's like, I'm just realizing it. And I'm 18 and I have so much life ahead of me, but I wish I would have realized it so much sooner. And it's just like such a good thing. Yeah, it's so good just, like, trusting God and knowing who we are and just, like, following him and being, living in the call that he has on our lives.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good. So just to recap. Okay, so just, like, giving our fears to God helps us to walk in faith and not fear. And then we're walking in faith and not that fear. We're able to know who we are. And then we don't get to fall for the enemy, what the enemy says we are. Like, we know who God is. We know who God's made us to be. We know what our identity is in him. And then we can step out in the gifts that God's given us so that we can follow the call in our lives, like the call that he's given us, so that no one else steals our call. Because I think that's stealing our call. I don't want to steal mine. And it leads to fullness in life, and it gives all the glory to God. And that's what he wants. Like, he wants us to live our lives that way. And it's so good. And, like, just get you excited to live your life like that. Yeah, so that's all I have for now.
Oh, bless his name.